Welcome to this podcast of The Secrets, the podcast for anyone who is serious about writing. The Secrets home can be found at www.stormwolf.com. For the next 15 minutes, we'll talk about writing and how to get you even closer to seeing your name on the spine of a book. Hello and welcome to this sixth installment of The Secrets. I'm Michael A. Stackpole, your host. And for the next 15 minutes, we'll talk about writing, answer some of your questions, talk about words, and get you closer to being the author you want to be. A couple things I want to do before I start in. Just wanted to point out that at the website, I don't ask for donations to support the podcast, and that's cool. I enjoy doing it. But if you are interested in the material we cover here, this is the audio portion of a newsletter that I put out called The Secrets. And so you can go to www.stormwolf.com, and you can pull down sample issues. You can decide to subscribe, as many people have done, buy back issues and everything, and I really appreciate the support. One of the things that appears in The Secrets in the early issues that I am doing here is what we refer to as the rules of writing. These are guidelines that will help you structure what you're doing, how it goes, and it will make you be a better writer. These are the kind of things that you learn in the first 3 to 5 years of your career, so we're kind of hoping that these will jumpstart your career. The rule to deal with today is really kind of a nuts and bolts thing, and that's called point of view. This is probably material that was covered in an English class, but it's really kind of important because in English classes they tend to look at old literary models, and those will indicate one thing, and the modern market wants something else. Point of view is how you're telling the story, how the character's relating to the story. First person is very common. I love writing in first person, but that's the I went here, I did that kind of thing. It's always, you tend to use the verbs in the past tense. And first person gives you a certain amount of intimacy. It also makes it easier for a beginning writer to be writing from the I point of view because you're not tempted to slip into other characters' heads, and that's really fairly important. Going from one character's head to another character's head on a constant basis really will confuse a lot of readers and confuse the writer. So a lot of times writers are recommended, when you're starting out at least, I think, you might want to consider writing first person. Second person you don't see very much, and that is the you go here, you do this. It's used in a lot of choose your own adventure novels. It also is, it's sort of an affectation. It's not used very much. It's been used in a couple of novels. I think Bright Lights, Big City by Jay McInerney used it. Again, not very common, and that's because it's really just kind of annoying. Third person comes in two flavors. Third person is when the writer externalizes a character. John went to the phone, picked it up, started to talk to Mary. So it's all he did this, she did that. The two flavors it comes in, one is omniscient, and this is where the narrator both can be in John's head and then can pull out. Sort of those movie shots that you see where you've been inside the house and then you sort of pull back and you're seeing the whole city and then you focus in someplace else. Omniscient was very, very popular when novels were first being done. It's not popular that much anymore. Third person focused, on the other hand, is far more popular. It's far more common these days. And so this is going to be what you're going to see being done a lot more in most books. And third person focused means that you stay inside the head of one character during the story at a time. You don't go flitting around through them. This saves on confusion. It helps delineate the characters, make them very, very clear. And in third-person focused, while you may have multiple characters in a storyline or a story that's got multiple plot lines, you don't jump from head to head to head without a break. For me, I generally make the jump between chapters. Other people will make the jump within chapters, but you generally see one of those, you know, double-space, three-line divide things. So you know there's a white space. You're set for the change. There are writers like Donald Westlake who are able to jump from character's head to character's head, but Westlake is a genius and does this very, very well. So unless you're of the Westlake caliber, I would not suggest you try it. One of the other things that comes up with point of view, and this becomes very important, and this is a lesson that I learned the hard way very early on in my career. We've all read third-person novels where there are multiple plot lines. I tend to write them. It is my feeling that if you as a writer have more point of view characters than 3 per 100,000 words, you're insane. The reason for this, there's several reasons for this. First of all, if you've got a 100,000 word novel, which is roughly standard length these days, then each character would have about 30,000 words that could be devoted to his story arc. And that's a good story arc for dealing with a character in his life. If you have more characters than that, they get short shrift. They don't get a chance to develop. And again, it makes it really rough on the reader, because if you're differentiating each character by their style, by what's going on, it becomes very, very confusing to try and pull it all together. So that's just my suggestion. No more than 3 viewpoint characters. And by viewpoint characters, I don't always mean someone you see the story through. If for some reason you decide that you need to have a gas station attendant watch one of your heroes or the bad guy drive up in a big car, get gas, and go away, that's fine. That character is just being used as a viewpoint at that point. He's not a story character. He does not have a story arc. So again, for 100,000 words, only 3 characters that have story arcs. So that's pretty much the 411 on point of view. Pick one, stick with it. If you're just starting out, try first person. If you are going to go with third person, stay focused and really don't go any further than 3 per 100,000 words. And since most of you shouldn't be writing a novel longer than 100,000 words, you know, you're going to be in good shape there with 3 characters. So figure that out. And there are reasons for using 3, and we'll cover that in a later podcast. So there you have it. Rule number 6, point of view. Welcome back to segment 2 of The Secrets. I have got whole bunches of questions to help people answer. If you've got any questions and you want to send them in the future, please just send them to thesecrets@stormwolf.com. And remember that address, because I'm going to need your help answering this very first question. And it is from a teacher who's got a summer school, and she says, I would like to include a science fiction short story as part of my students' required reading for this year's critical thinking summer course. I'm soliciting your assistance in selecting a story of interest to a 14-year-old boys or girls, males or females. The story topic should enable discussion of philosophic points, good versus evil, male-female roles, moral roles, etc. So if you can think of any good science fiction stories that fit that bill, please send me the titles, send me the authors' names. Let's try and make them stories that are fairly well known and pretty easy to get our hands on. But I really would appreciate that help. Second question I have here is a very good one. It's from Daniel Emery, and he says, I have a website where I'm posting short stories as I write them. It's about once every 1 or 2 weeks. My question is this. If I send a short story to a magazine like Fantasy and Science Fiction as a submission, will it get dismissed out of hand because it was posted on my website? Probably not. Some magazines do get a little bit touchy about that, but I think the bigger question is, why are you posting them on your website? Why aren't you just sending them out to the magazines first, collecting as many rejection slips as you can, and if you can't sell it, then go ahead and post it on the website? If you're posting it on the website to get feedback, that's all well and good. Learn from the feedback, modify the stories, and then send them out. But take them off the website at that point. That way you're considered to be workshopping the thing. And if they ask, of course, you're going to tell them, yeah, it was up, and you'll know how many readers you had. But I don't think that should be a big problem. They're looking for good stories. But, don't try and hide that fact that you had it up there. Certainly if they ask, go ahead and tell them. But just consider it workshopping, especially if you're taking criticism and then working the story. The last question we've got here is a really good one from Robert Policia. And what he says is this. When writing a novel, since there are a number of ways to construct the same sentence using basically all the same words, is there a preferred method? And then he goes on in a second line to say, since there are a number of ways to construct the same sentence using basically all the same words, is there a preferred method when writing a novel? Again, all the same words in a different direction. This is a complex question, but it has a very simple answer. The method you use, the structure that you use for the sentence, should be as clear as possible. You don't want people having to read a sentence over 2 or 3 times. So if it can be done very directly, that is the way that you want to do it. If it gets confusing, that's inappropriate. About the only time that there is any slip space on this sort of thing is when you're dealing with dialogue. Dialogue has got to be special to the different characters who are saying it. So some characters are going to talk in roundabout ways. We certainly all know this. We certainly all have friends who never come out and ask a direct question. They always hint around something. And the only way you know the point that they're trying to get at is, you know, they're talking hub or they're talking spokes. You have to look at the hub. And once you figure that out, you can deal with them. This is possible. And again, the only real trick to it is that you want to minimize the confusion. You don't want to make readers work harder than they have to get your story. You want it to be as painless as possible. And that's very, very important. Just look at using that. One other thing that I'll point out about sentences and stuff. The longer the sentence, the higher the grade level, reading level is that you've got to have mastered to understand it. Long sentences full of long words. You know, this is something that's going to appeal to college graduates. Short sentences, short words, kids can get it. As it works out, the grade level for most popular fiction is somewhere between 6th and 8th grade in terms of how easy it is to understand. So bear that in mind. And I guess, you know, that's appealing to the general audience, which that could be a sad commentary, but there you go. Again, if you've got any questions, go ahead and send them in to thesecrets@stormwolf.com. One other thing I'd like you to ask you here. Podcasts are relatively new. We have no way of knowing how many people they go out to. Now, back in the day of shortwave radio, one of the things that used to happen is that people who would hear a shortwave radio show would send to the broadcasters little postcards saying, "On this date, I heard your show." And I'd like you to do that for me. If you hear this podcast, if you subscribe to the podcast, just go ahead and send me a postcard. I'd love to know how far this thing is getting. And that would just go to Mike Stackpole at Box 60333, Phoenix, Arizona, 85082-0333. And that's in the United States. It would just be fun to, you know, see the postcards. And if you've got any questions, any suggestions for the short story, you can include those on the postcards. I'd really appreciate it because, again, I'd love to know how far out this is getting. And whether or not you find it helpful or there's any suggestions you've got, you can put those on the postcard too. Thanks much. Welcome back to segment 3. And in this segment, I like to popularize a little-known expression or rescue some word from obscurity. And this time, I went back to Words by Paul Dixon. And the expression that I've got is comet wine. It's comet wine, as in to drink. And Paul writes, this is wine made during a year in which a major comet appears. Since the comet year of 1811, which was also a great vintage year, there have been those who insist that comet wines are great wines. And comets, of course, are things that herald all sorts of wonderful stuff or are auspicious moments. So this kind of makes sense. Again, when you're making up your worlds, think about that. Think about what sort of omens there are and how they can tie into things and what kind of value, what kind of mystery that gives to the stories that you're going to be writing. So there you go, Comet Wine from Paul Dixon. And look for Paul's books wherever you can find them because they are absolutely great. Before we get to all that boring legal stuff, I'd like to thank those of you who have gone to Podcast Alley and have gone to Podcast Pickle and voted for or rated The Secrets. That really is cool, and I'm very happy to get some ratings. Not anywhere in the ratings, mind you, but it's nice to know some people are taking notice and are touching stuff. Or voting there. I'd like to say thanks to Michael and Evo over the Dragon page for helping me out with stuff. And I'd like to suggest that all of you take a look at tsfpn.com because there's going to be cool things going on over there. This podcast is copyright 2005, Michael A. Stackpole. Visit me at www.stormwolf.com. Have a safe 4th of July weekend, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Good luck with your writing. Plenty of people would love to write, but figuring out where to start isn't easy. The Secrets is a great place to begin. In this bi-weekly newsletter, Michael A. Stackpole and other writers share their experience. If you want to take your writing to the next level, whether you're just starting out or a seasoned veteran, The Secrets is a serious tool for your development. Visit www.stormwolf.com to learn more about The Secrets and download some sample issues. Your future awaits. Subscribe to The Secrets today. This is TSFPN.com, the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, out of this world entertainment.